Radio Luz poleca.
Lubisz zgłębiać temat i dopytywać, a jednocześnie mieć wątpliwości?
Chcesz poznać opinie ekspertów i prawdziwych pasjonatów?
Daj się poprowadzić w nasz naukowy świat.
Pobudzamy ciekawość i szare komórki. Włącz na synapsach w środę o 17.
I w soboty od 15 do 17 na 91,6 FM.
Radio Luz poleca.
Okay, so one more time. Hello, professor. It's a great honor to have you here on Radio Luz with us.
Thank you for this invitation. It's my pleasure and honor to participate in this emission.
In the beginning, let me introduce you with a bio note which I found on your website. So, Professor Izam Charu is Distinguished Professor at the University Lille in France. His main interests are based on education, technology, innovation and social networks for human prosperity. He's mainly focused on creative smart solutions which form the topic of our conversation for today. So I think we can start with that question, which is really interesting for me. So how did the dream of smart city begin in your case? Can you explain us?
Yeah, thank you for this question. In fact, I started this work about 12 years ago at the University of Lille. At that time, I was a vice president of the University for Research and Innovation. And we tried to have or to develop a large-scale research project where we have innovation in connection with social challenges. You know, the city of Lille, it's in the north of France, an industrial city. And the question of the transition of the city for the new technology is one of the objectives of the local authorities. Then the question of cities and urban is very important for us. And we want to develop something which concerns urban development and urban transition. The second thing which is really very important was the digital technology, how the digital technology, digital transformation could help. And when we combined both of them, so that digital technology with urban, with the city, could give something about the smart technology. At that time, I had a very good cooperation with New York University. Mm-hmm. And in New York University, they have already some experience in smart grid. Then we included also my colleague of New York University in this project. Said that we want to develop this large-scale project about the smart city. What could we do according to your experience and the local requirement, the local situation in the city of Lille or the north of France? And for this, we said that we need to discuss with people who are engaged, are involved in urban development. Then we made a very good group composed of local authorities and also of people, of companies who work in urban services. And we spent about 1 year of discussion about what could we do today, something which is really interesting. And the result of this consultation discussion was that this technology, the smart grid technology, is really very interesting, and we have to extend it to other services as water, sanitation, heating, and so on. And since all of these subjects are new subjects, we need to develop a large-scale demonstrator. And that was the originality of our work. Then we started with companies and local authorities to develop this large-scale demonstrator of the smart infrastructure at that time. And we used the campus of Lille University, which is similar to a small town of about 25,000. And we started this work with some success. Perhaps we can come back to it later. Then companies came, more and more students came, more and more, and the project became a really very well known project. And we started to work outside the campus with local authorities about the social housing, green district, work at the international level. That's my story. Then we started this according to some requirement to go through the innovation. And after we developed really this project and became a very important project. First of all, it was focused on technology. And later on, when we started to work with cities, people, we recentered the project. It's also about people. It's not only about technology, that how we can consider also the citizens in this project. Then we worked also on participatory science and so on. to see how we can involve people in this project. That's my story.
How the story begins, yes.
Now it's about 12 years of work.
Quite a lot.
Academic work, professional work, in-field work, all over the world, countries abroad. It's a very good experience and I'm really very happy with this. Mm-hmm.
Smart city as a companion on your everyday life, yes. I would like to ask, what are the characteristics of smart city in general? Because you mentioned the people, the social issue, the technology, but what we can add to that list?
When you speak about smart city, it means that we want to improve global situation, the situation, the services in the city. This is our aim, to go to the city and to improve the quality of life, quality of services for people. And to improve this, we need to understand, first of all, what are the expectations of citizens, what they are looking for. This question is very important, and it depends on the city. That's why we don't have a general model. We have a general approach. The first step is to go to the city, to have this large discussion with people who are engaged, citizens, local authorities, companies, and so on, to understand what are your main challenges, what you are looking for, what are your expectations. Once we understand what are these expectations, we'll go to the technology to see how the technology could help us to achieve these expectations. And this side, we will see that we have a lot of things. The transportation problem is a very important problem worldwide. We have a lot of problem with the mobility, with the transportation. We spend a lot of time. We suffer from problem of pollution and so on. Then the mobility generally rises very quickly, that we have to go through smart solution for the mobility. How we can make this smart solution for the mobility? Public transportation is very important. We have to improve the quality of the public transportation through a very good information system, real-time information system, that people can access very easily to the information. Next bus will arrive when I will arrive to my destination, if I have to change, and so on. All of this information are very important. But also, carpooling is very important. Mobility through bikes and so on, it's very important. If we can gather all of this information about the mobility on only one system and inform the population about what's going on, they have their reclaim and their real-time information, it could be really helpful for all people. For the companies, it will be helpful. For the people, it will be helpful, and so on. And we can organize that at different levels. We can organize it at the level of the city, we can organize it at the level of companies, and so on. We have other example. A lot of time we have to go to some of the services, to public buildings, to make some papers and so on. And then you spend a lot of time, and then the question that online services, how we can go to what we call the e-administration, something which is also helpful and very important. Another thing which could be really helpful, what we call the circular economy. When you look to something, you can buy at a high price because it's new and so on. But probably beside you, some of your neighbors have already this item and they can provide it for you. Then it's a question of sharing, what we have. It could be a car, it could be a bike, it could be a tool, and so on. But for this also, we need to share the information, that if we can have a platform, we will say that, I can offer, and so on. It could be related to parking also, And on the other side, we have people who are looking for them. If we can fit or match the offer with the demand, it could be helpful. Now, there are some cities, the example of Brussels, very good example. The city said that we want to go through digital services, and we have a lot of startups who have very good ideas, but they cannot build all of these platforms. Then the city will build, the platform with all the services, and any startup which has new service can connect very easily on the platform of the city and beneficiates from all the services and provide its services. Then the city has a role of organization. We organize all of this system, and all the good initiative can come. And you can see that we have a lot of people who have very good ideas. Then could go also through this. Now also we have also something about what we call active citizen. The citizen is important in the city. His every word, and he observes. He has a smartphone.
Yeah.
And if he sees something which is not good, abnormal, he can take very easily a photo, record what's going on.
Everything almost, yeah.
And really very helpful, because the city cannot put sensors everywhere, but people are everywhere. People sense this reclamation, this observation. They feel that the message was considered and the city followed up with this. They will be also encouraged to continue in this work. We have other things, you know, some thing about if we take people with disabilities. You know, they go in the city and they look for specific services. Sometimes.
That is a huge challenge, I think, for now.
Yeah, if you look at the international level, it's about 15% of the world population.
Yeah.
It concerns a lot of people. The same question, I think that with the smart technology, we can very easily develop a specific application, geolocalized application. It's an application which will help people with disabilities, which will be really adapted about what's going around them, about the services around them, which is the best way to access to this or this. And this service is really smart, it's really interesting, and can help people also. And also, I think that, you know, we live in cities and sometimes we feel isolated. And the question of the social connection is very important. Stories are very important, and then people can tell their stories, we can share stories. I have a course in the master's degree about the smart city. We work with students on different projects. If you look to these projects and what can students do, we can say that we really can have a lot of things to change cities, to make the cities more human, to make the life in the city more enjoyable. We have the possibility with, thanks to the digital technology, because it's about the intelligence, and the intelligence, you know, it's really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. Now, we can do a lot of things in the technology. We can improve the safety of the water system, the energy system, can reduce the consumption. All of these technologies are also very important for the city. If I take only one example, if you look to the public lighting,
mm-hmm.
And all this lighting all the night, sometimes you don't have any people in the street. You have the lighting all the night. Then
yeah,
we have the smart public lighting, where the light starts when we have some movement, some people, and so on. And thanks to this technology, we can save up to 75% of the energy. It's huge.
Huge, you know. Yeah.
For the water leakage, it's also very important, because in some cities we lose about half of the water. Half. It's huge. And according to our experience, because we have also suffered from this situation in the campus, we reduced the leakage from 50% to 7%.
That's a lot.
That's, yeah. Then for the question of flood, the same thing. You know, the flood itself, the question of how we can manage our storm water system. And also, if we have a good monitoring system, we can improve the capacity of the system to address the strong rainfall and so on. It's really very, very interesting. Also, we have a lot of work today, you know, with the climate change, we have a lot of natural disasters. In natural disaster, the question of the emergency, how we can scan, you know, the destruction, the damages, before you have to send people to see what's going on. But today, with this technology, you can very quickly scan what's going on and also prepare, you know, the optimal emergency services. Then it's also very, very useful. But
there is a but.
The but is really very important, that people who are in charge of these projects should focus on that. What we are looking for is the well-being of our population. This is the point, that's what we are looking for. Then how we can do it, and how we can do it with people. Not only we decide for all of this, and this is really the point. You know, in my life, I have failed in some projects. These projects failed, they were mainly not for technical. For the technical part, as an engineer, we find all the time solutions. But for people, if there is no consideration, if there is no implication, no involvement of the people, you cannot find the solution.
That is extremely important, because I've always can hear something about that smart cities should be more eco-friendly, more in the concept of architecture, but this concept of more human is very important, I think.
Yeah, another thing which is important, you know, when we speak about the city, we speak also about the complex city, because in the city we have a lot of components, and all of these components are in interaction. Then we sometimes don't understand what are the priorities, what we have to do, because we don't have the global picture. You know, where are our priorities? When we take a decision somewhere, how it could impact other things. Today, thanks to the smart city technology, the point that to collect the data about what's going in the city, our system, and to put all of these data in one global system, to cross these data to make the analysis. And today we have the tools to make the machine learning, artificial intelligence, they are really very effective. What is good, this is the good news, that we can understand what's going on. No, because sometimes we focus on somewhere, on some place, and the problem is not there. It could be another one. And this global picture, to understand what's going on and to make some simulation, because we have also this possibility to understand what could be the consequences of any action, of any investment, and so on. Then this will be, well, this is really very good, very interesting for the policymakers. To say what is the right decision, and also to support, to use this data to explain to the population, to the stakeholders, that for a question of transparency, we decided this, but this is supported by, you know, and these are our indicators. Yeah. We will follow them. We will come back to you with our indicators, and we will ask you, what do you think about how this action changed or will change your life? And this is our, you know, barometer for the city. And this one is really very powerful for the smart city, because before, you know, the city is organized on what we call silo. We have the water service works only for the water, electrical service for the electricity, transportation, and so on. Now with this technology, we have much more, and we can share data. And you know that today that in France, but I think that it's all over the world also, cities develop what they call open data. Means that the data they have.
That's a good track. But I think, you know, that sometimes it's really difficult to find this place of connection between scientists, stakeholders, policymakers. I'm sure it depends on the country. Maybe in France it's better than in Poland, but still I think we need a lot of effort to make this possible.
Yeah, it's a long-term journey, you know. Mm-hmm. I think the best thing which I did, it was to introduce all of this philosophy of the smart city in the education program at the bachelor and master's degree. And now I have a lot of graduates who work in cities, in companies, and so on. Then they come with this new culture.
Yeah, new generation, new mind.
New generation. And it's very easy, you know, to build bridges with them, to cooperate with them. I think it's our task as professors at the university also to introduce all of these new concepts. We believe in these concepts, but we have to extend them, we have to implement them, and we cannot implement them. We have to implement them with cities, with the population. To start with, you know, education.
The education is always the key point to the most things.
Sure. Yeah.
To create a better society. And maybe there are some new trends which are coming to the concept of smart city. Do you know some of it? Can you show us what is the most, I don't know, on the top of the list now?
I can distinguish between two things. Something which is related to the technology. It really could help, because it's also about data transmission and so on. And if you take the 5G, you know, 5G really is very interesting, because it facilitates, you know, the data collection and so on. One of the big issues is about also privacy. Because people in the smart cities that, okay, we believe that could be helpful, but we would like also to protect our privacy.
And now people are more aware, I think, of their privacy.
And also, you know, the law today, the European regulation about data privacy, it's also is really very helpful. It could help. And also one of the big topics, because when we speak about the smart city, it's about the control of critical infrastructure. We're speaking about energy, water, then the security, the cyber security of this infrastructure is also very important. And this topic is now in the top priority of research in the smart city, because otherwise, if the smart city platform is hacked, people can control everything and they can make a lot of damage in the city. This is the side concerning the technology. Then we have real advances in monitoring, the monitoring system, in the crowdsourcing data. It's also how we can collect data from people and so on. It's about the reglementation. There are good advances which help today to achieve. On the second side, it's about services to the population. What kind of services? Services to elder people, services. We suffered from the pandemic. The pandemic, it was a huge, huge catastrophe for all of us. And the question which we have, very quickly, we entered in a new world, very quickly.
And a chance to change the perspective, yes.
Yeah, this change and so on, if the technology can help, why not? People accepted this.
Yeah.
And at the same time, data collection, the data was one of the major topic. What's going in this place, around this place, and so on, to track some the pandemic extension. Then the smart city technology is really based on this and show that it could be effective. But since cities were not prepared, they really suffered from this. Then it means that if we were prepared for the smart city, it could be really very helpful to some dramatic events such as pandemic and so on. Now, the focus in the smart cities is really to make something which is sometimes about services and also about what we call decentralization. You know, we don't need to have all of this in the same center and so on. Let's develop this initiative at all the level, at the district level, at the regional level, and so on. It's really very, very important to understand the local context, to go to the population which is really vulnerable because they need more. To introduce this technology in the economy, very helpful in the logistic and then today, so we'll integrate it. But the question that what's about education, culture, and all of these subjects are really very important. And how, you know, I presented some years ago something how we can go from what we call the smart city to the emotional city.
Yeah, how it works.
You know, when you go through the emotions, it's much more strong than to come to people and say, okay, let's go to the smart city. If the smart city does not create emotions, people are not inclined to accept it.
Psychological point of view, yeah?
Yeah, and also you touch people in their heart, you know. If you go to the city with the smart technology and you transform the life in the city, what I call the journey in the city, leave your home at 7 or 8 o'clock, come back, some side of this journey when you walk about the city to something which is really enjoyable, interesting, because you can see more things, you can interact with more things and so on. It's really very interesting.
But it's a good point because we can see many different travelers traveling around the world and are pretty amazed what they can see in different points of the world. Yeah. And they come back and introduce that in their places.
Yeah, you know, we take all regular paths, trajectories, but we take them so quickly that we don't see anything. It's like a blind, you know. Sometimes we are beside very beautiful things, great things, and so on. And the digital technology can help us when we travel, when we go to say to enjoy a lot of things around stories and this transformation is really very interesting. You can also do a lot of things. The point is that try to transform our daily life in something which could be enjoyable, more easy, more interaction, more sharing, to become really social. This is the big point, and I think that with this technology, we can do a lot of things. Transform the city into a more social city, more emotional city.
More social and more emotional. I think that is something for our listeners. We've covered a lot in terms of the Western world, I think. So Europe and America, I think. But what about Africa? I've seen the sign on your presentation on the internet. And that was a question, Smart Africa, is it possible? Is it possible, Professor, to achieve that?
It is possible. I think that's not most possible. It's a must. It's a must because, you know,
strong affirmation.
We expect to have the highest demographic growth in Africa. We will have more and more people, and all of these people, the majority will come to cities. And the question that they will look to services. today Africa suffer already from the lack of services. Mm-hmm. Okay. The question today is how we can manage, how we can design our services to be the optimal, you know, performance, the optimal performances. Give some example, but I don't know we'll have the time for this. I give the example of public lighting, but I give this the example of water and so on. When you design your infrastructure according to the smart technology, it is really cost effective because you will optimize, you know, the management of your infrastructure, the dimension of your infrastructure. You can do what we call in the smart city, we can do more with less. We can do more things with this budget because it's based on knowledge, it's based on this management. If we take question of the stormwater system, sometimes we have a lot of areas where the water system is empty, then we can store the water to prevent flood in other areas and so on. But for this, we need this knowledge, we need this monitoring system. If we don't, we cannot do it. Then today, if you look to the international institution, when they want to support some infrastructure development, they ask, you know, to use the latest technology and this the latest technology. That's why I said it's a must. It's a must because we cannot today develop some infrastructure or huge investment with the old technology. If we have the new technology, it's a must to use the new technology. The second thing, we are looking to something as such as education. We don't have all the infrastructure, the hospitals, the schools, and so how we can manage this? How we can manage this? You know, we have to combine online with the presential. We have to reduce our mobility. If we want to have something, we don't need to make it to spend 1 hour, 2 hours only to have this. Then this question is very, also very important. Then if we take all of this example, if the smart technology can help us to be more effective in health system, in the mobility, culture access, and so on, it's really very important. And that's why, since we don't have enough services today, we don't have enough people, you know, to provide all of these services, the smart technology will help us to improve our education system, our health system, our culture system, the cooperation between people. That's why I say that it's really a must.
But do you think that Africa needs more and more of our help, the help of the experts?
If you look, you know, to Africa and you look to the use of the smartphone, they are not number one, but they have a huge extension of the mobile. Why? You have the mobile application. If you look to the digital payment in Africa, Africa went over the bank agencies. Because before, in Europe, you know, you go to the bank and you make your operation. There was not enough services in Africa, bank agencies and so on. Then they invented, mainly in Africa, the digital payment. And it works very well. People embrace this, you know, because it's it's interesting. It's a digital service. Then give only these two examples. Tomorrow with the take about the energy, you know, the renewable energy. Africa is a very good area to develop solar energy. And we don't have enough electricity, you know. In Africa, we have a lack of real infrastructure for the electricity. Do we need to have infrastructure, electrical infrastructure such as in Europe, huge national infrastructure? We can make in Africa local infrastructure based on renewable energy and so on. I think it's possible. We don't need all of these what we call highways of the energy. Could be good. The question that why people go from the rural areas to the city? If they can't find services in the rural area, if it can be effective, productive, and I think that the digital technology can do a lot of things to reduce the migration between the rural area and the urban area. Cities in Africa today increase very, very quickly. They cannot afford for this increase of the population. It's not possible. And we have to think about how we can also encourage people to stay. But if they want to stay, we have to provide these services, and I think that the online services, the smart services, are possible. That's why I said in the beginning, it's a must.
It's a must. Yeah. And now maybe more personal question for you: do you have your favorite examples of smart cities around the world? Maybe in France, maybe outside France.
Yeah, I have some.
Yeah, we are ready to hear.
But, you know, there are, as I said in the beginning, when you speak about the smart city, I am speaking about a comprehensive approach to the smart city. Mm-hmm. It means that the city in which I dream, it's a dream for me. And the transformation will take time. We cannot in the city make the transformation easily. Then the smart city as an ideal system does not exist. But some cities are working to go through this transformation in a good way. I take the example of Montreal. Montreal, I think it's a very good example. When they started what they call the values. What is the value of the city to go to the smart city? It's a very important thing. And the value was city for citizens by citizens.
So again, the people, yeah?
Yeah, this is really the big value. Mm-hmm. And from this, they said, since the cities will be centered about citizens, we have to start by listening to citizens. And they started the first phase, the smart city program, by listening. More than 1 million people were listened. A lot of group were formed. A lot of discussion and so on. And from all of these discussions, they decide their priority. I mean, you can see that it started by social or citizens' implication and so on. And from these priorities, they said that you cannot start at the national level because we don't have enough experience. When we start about the smart city, we have to start by what we call the pilot project. We can develop this project at good scale, which is representative, to try to understand how we can implement, what are the difficulties which we have, to learn and to make the local adaptation after we make the scaling. The scaling means that we have something which already could experience good tools and we can apply it to other examples. Then I think that this example is really interesting. City for citizens by citizens, to make the consultation with citizens, to understand the priorities, to start by the pilot projects and after to make the scaling. The second example, it's not far away for you, it's about Amsterdam. Amsterdam has a very good experience in the smart city because they started now for about 15 years. And when they started by the concept of green city. We can make our city green, more green, greener. Then it was focused on energy, transportation, and so on. It was technical, it was not social.
Yeah, from the base, almost everybody associates Netherlands and Amsterdam with bicycles, yeah?
Yeah.
Standing on the street.
That was before, because they live already social participation. Later on, when they wanted to extend the project, they said that we need data. We need to go through this, you know, comprehensive data, collect the data in only one center, and they try to understand in the city of Amsterdam, what's about the data? And they discovered that they have more than 1,000 data sets for different groups, and these data are not connected. Sometimes they have the same thing, and the tools are not the same, and so. Then the big challenge was how you can go from all of these data, scattered data, to something which is more comprehensive. And it required, you know, specific skills, and they built an education center, specific center, to deal with this urban data, the big data, urban and so on, to make all of this organization. As a responsible of the project, I discussed with a lot of companies who came to say that, okay, we have a solution for you. But he knows that there is not only one solution because things are so complicated. And when he received companies from IT, people from IT, the high skills to deal with data, it's really very interesting for us. But do you know what are our challenges? Do you know what are our challenges on the ground? Not in the data only. Said, mm-hmm. No, we don't know. Said that how you can provide pertinent solution if you don't know, not familiar with our challenges on the ground? The solution is not only digital. It's much more than digital. You know, then we cannot make the solution of the smart city only in the computer. And I think that this lesson is also interesting. Take the example in Brussels. Russell, as I said, that what they tried to do, they had to develop this comprehensive facility at the city level. A company, startup can come and to develop. Then they opened, you know, the smart city really to the population, to the startup, to have much more innovation. People came with these ideas and they can implement them and benefit from the support of the city. Stockholm suffered from huge congestion. You know, it's an island. Problem of Stockholm were huge for the mobility. Then they installed very early a smart system. The smart system for the mobility was based mainly on charging. When you go in the city, if there is congestion, you have to pay more money to the city. But the city cannot make, you know, the control point. Then they point the camera and there was identification very easily when you go to the city. From the immatriculation, they can know exactly when the car in the city can make the charge. And at the same time, they put some parkings outside the city. Then you can come, put your parking, and you can make the bus for free and go in the city. Through this innovation, they reduced very well the congestion in the city because they proposed alternative ways to go in the city. I have another example, if we have time, Rio de Janeiro.
Oh, yeah. Also?
Yeah, because Rio de Janeiro also started smart city very early. The problem with Rio de Janeiro is about, it's in mountains and we have some instability. We can have what we call soil sliding. Soil sliding with a very crowded city could cause a lot of damages. And they are mainly related to the rainfall. If you have intense rainfall in some areas, you can have, you know, some sliding, and the mayor of the city, the authority of the city, have to decide, should we make the evacuation or not? Then they put a very good monitoring system for the rainfall, for the soil, and so on. And with this data, they can make some prediction if there is any risk which is related to some areas. The mayor has the power, the information, the knowledge to make some decision for the evacuation, for the protection, and so on. Then it was related to natural disaster, about sliding and so on. And I think that's an example, also is a good example.
And a really interesting one, I think. Really.
Yeah, really it's interesting. And there are some of these examples. Now you find also some examples. Singapore, they extend their experience of the smart city to the smart nation.
But I think Singapore is more obvious for people than Rio.
Yeah, because, sure. But in Singapore, the point that they go from the city level to the nation level, small country, it's not as Poland or France. There are some of these good examples. But as I said, that each city has its specific challenges to go, to understand, to discuss, and so on. I hope that we can make something in Poland in the next future.
I hope so. That will be more smart cities and smart ideas in my country too. Yeah. And now I think that we could approach to the beginning of our conversation, of our story. So we covered a lot of smart cities concepts and examples. So we can turn to the smart city campus, which you created. Yeah, I think that it's pretty amazing because now we are based on the campus of Wrocław University of Science and Technology. And for our students, I think it can be really interesting how to create that ideas in the concept, smart concept.
It's really very interesting and also very good for the education program, for the research program, for cooperation with companies, because the campuses are very good areas, you know, which is interesting that the campus is public. The data which we can share, that there is no problem if the university is okay for this. When we started, we have to understand our infrastructure because we didn't have what we call the digital model of our infrastructure. Pipes are in the ground, cables are in the ground, but we don't have enough information where they are, what they are characteristic, what about the history of maintenance and so on. Then the first big question that how we can make what we call the digital twin, the digital model, to collect all of this information about the infrastructure, put them in what we call the GIS system, collect all of this data, put all of this data on only one system. Then you can cross the information. If I take the electrical grid with the water grid, if we have some connection between them, proximity and so on, very easily you can see where are the vulnerable areas. You can make also some correlation with the weather, with the temperature and so on. And first question when we started with the smart cities was really technical. Technical we have because it was about infrastructure to have the digital twin, the digital model of all of this infrastructure to put them and to have this capacity to offer visualization. And we connected it to the augmented reality. Means that with your smartphone, you can go through the city, with the compass, through your mobile, you can see what is in the underground. Because with augmented reality, you can know exactly where you are and knows according to our information system what is below in the soil. Then when you travel, you don't see only the building, but the building is a part of our reality. The infrastructure and what is in the soil is also another side of our infrastructure. You have this possibility and it's amazing, you know, because you can see what's beside, what was about the maintenance, what about the water flow. And so you can do a lot of things with this. This was the first step. The second one is that we not understand how the system operates. What's about the water flow? Since the compass is not huge, we put what we call the smart counter, smart meters, where they measure, you know, the water consumption, the water flow. We can measure the water flow which comes to the compass from the city, and the water consumption also in all the buildings every 1 hour. And after when you make the balance between what we receive and what we consume, you can understand very easily that if we have some leak, and generally it was in the soil, and it helped us really to do very quickly the water leak. The same thing, we have a very good district heating system in the compass. And the question that in these buildings, how they operate, they are old buildings, then we put also smart meter at the level of each building. You can get the data, you can look to this data. Okay, this building, it was Sunday, the building was closed. Why I still have energy consumption such as a working day? Why I consume energy at midnight? Then all questions, you know, they are basic questions, but if you don't have the data, you can't do anything. Once you have the data, you can understand that your system could operate much better, and we measured what could be the impact. We can reduce the energy consumption only by the management, by 20 to 30% in some of these buildings. The same thing for the electricity system. We did almost also the same thing for the buildings. So the question that, what's about the air quality? When students spend time in some rooms, crowded rooms, without a ventilation system, what's about the level of CO2 and so on? And we discovered in some of the rooms that the level of CO2 very quickly, 3,000, 4,000 ppm, and the accepted level is about 700, 800. And sometimes because our sensors were limited to 5,000, we cannot go beyond because it's the limit of our sensors. If we know that we spend 2-3 hours in such conditions, that could global, you know, sensation. Professors or students could perhaps open the windows, do something, and so on. That's what's also about to discover what's going on, you know, what's going. All of this, this stage, what helped us really in the campus, it was not about automation. It was about understanding. It means that we got our system, we monitored our system, and we, according to the analysis of data, we understood better what's going on. But I think that if you can get already 70 or 80% of your objective by understanding and make easy sample decision, we are already in the smart system because it's based on our better understanding and the action which we can make very easily. And we discovered also something which was related to the water quality. You know, when you have very old pipes, the water stagnation.
That is a challenge as well.
Then the question that, okay, in some buildings, we have to, before the students come, we have to make a water flushing. That's what we did. And the great news that it was successful. It was
definitely, yeah, I think so.
It was interesting. It was comprehensive. And the students, you know, followed this in the courses in the bachelor degree, the master's degree, a lot of training. People came from almost all over the world, from the United States, Canada, from China, come and this experience.
That is the best proof for you.
Really, I enjoyed this.
Yes, definitely.
I still enjoy it.
Lille can be proud of you and the whole area of such a type of creator.
Thank you.
And I have the last question for you for today. For today, I can list it because I recently discovered that you created a comic book as well.
Yes.
And of course, this comic book covers the theme, the subject of smart city. Are you proud of your piece of art?
Yeah, very proud. You know, what I discovered during my 12 years of working in the smart city, that people don't know exactly what does that mean. The word smart city or intelligent city, because sometimes in French, the translation is intelligent city. It's not good translation because people don't like that, you know, something which is more intelligent than us and so on. The word is not, it's really very, mm-hmm. very bad. Translation in Chinese, it's wise city. Wise city is much more interesting than intelligent city.
Yeah.
Really, people don't understand the city, all of this complexity and how the transformation could happen. And for this, I said that perhaps through a comics where we will visit the city through the eyes of children. This is the biggest story. In the comics, we have two children who travel through the city with magic helmet. With this magic helmet, they can go almost everywhere, and very quickly. They can go in the sky and observe the city from the sky, what's going on in the city. After, they can go in the ground, the soil, to see what is in the soil. After, they can go in the pipe. They can travel with the water system to see what's going on. They can go in the sensor, go in the sensor and see how the sensors works, and discover what the city looks like, what are the challenges, why we need innovation, and why the smart technology really is helpful. And we finish the story by visiting the campus of the University of Leeds. The two children come to the sky of the city, the campus, and after they will go inside and to see some of our achievements. The book was so interesting that it was translated now in 7 languages. I look forward to make the translation in Polish.
Yeah, of course. And our listeners can download it from the website for free. Yeah, yeah, that's true. How they can find it? What is the title?
If they look to my website, Izam Shahroor, they will have the link to go there. It is in French and English and Chinese. Then we have the version for English. What is good that this book is the first one of a series of books.
Okay. So there will be more.
Yeah. The second one will be published soon. It will be about the water issue. Then we will go to visit all the water system. The third one will be about the energy. We'll visit the energy system. We will visit the waste treatment system, visit the excluded in the city, social exclusion. We'll visit the mobility. Then the idea is to, the first one gives the framework. Then we will go in different sides of the city. We make the, what we call the 360 degrees of the city to visit. It is with the same thing with these two boys. Sometimes they have other friends come with them to discover what the mobility looks like, what are the challenges, and how the smart technology will help. The second book is also interesting because it starts by the preparation of international cooperation project with Africa. And as you know, that the water challenge in Africa is one of the biggest, then the students want to learn more about what are the best practices in Europe. The story starts like this. Then, as I said, it will finish by within 2-3 weeks. And after we will go through the printing process and it will be available in May.
Really nice, Professor, really nice. We wish you a lot of luck, a hat full of many different ideas about smart cities and different solutions, how to improve our life and how to help people in general living in different cities around the world. It was a pleasure to have you here for the first time on Radio Luz. I hope there will be more chances in the future.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed discussion with you. Sure, we will have other opportunities. Thank you. Thanks for the listeners. Have a nice day.
Thank you.